Hello, I'm Hugo Disler from Farming Secrets. We've got the pleasure to have online once again John Priestley and Hamish Mackay. So both you gentlemen there?
Yes.
And you there, Hamish?
Yes.
Oh, jolly good. Well, look, today we're going to talk about, talk about anything and everything in relation to any questions that are put forward to us by our listeners, which are our Farming Secrets group. And we did talk, we will be talking about the moon cycles, etc. Oh, not so much moon cycles, the various cycles. So, Hamish, you might sort of bring that subject up very briefly as to what we are going to talk about as far as the various cycles. Like, I know the, like spring and autumn and summer exists, but what else exists? Well, you know, we do know that are in farming is to do with cycles. So, Hamish,
yes,
you might like to have a chat.
Well, most of us come out of a European or foreign origin, and the European culture is very definitely four seasons. And having lived in England for 6 years, it is amazing how clockwork they are. In Australia, I find it's very different. The indigenous people, some say they have 13 seasons, some say they have 26 seasons. I suspect 26 seasons is realistic for many aspects of Australia or areas in Australia. The issue is to do with the observational capacities of the farmers, and the calendar is really nothing more than helping people in a way understand what they see. So I always suggest to people, keep doing what you're doing, but watch what's happening, and when something happens that's a bit out of the ordinary or starts to show a pattern or a rhythm, then make your investigations about that. Because if you try and use it as a rule book, then it'll drive you crazy and everyone else, because the rhythms, some of them are subtle, some of them are quite strong. So it's really just a tool to develop your own observations. Maybe I just give an example that it's one that I use quite regularly. I was at Gundaroo, just north of Canberra, when there was those big fires there some years ago. Now, on the Sunday morning, I got out early at dawn to go and fix the pump, and I stepped out, and I got 100 metres out from the house, and I had wet feet from the dew, and I was cold enough to actually go back and get a jacket. So I went and did the pump, and walking back to the house, I figured this doesn't make sense, because we've just had these amazing bushfires with the heat, and the fury of it was amazing. So that's what caused me to take up the calendar and have a look. And I found in the 12 hours before I'd set out of the house, quite a lot of things had changed where the sun was, where the moon was, and where various aspects of the moon. And it all tied in with what I had observed. So that's the way I suggest people use the calendar. Have the experience, have the observation, and then start to interrogate why it is like that. So that's the basic, to get rid of the fear factor. Whether you understand the calendar, whether you understand the rhythms, they will occur. The sun will rise tomorrow, the sun will set tonight, and life will go on. It's a bit like surfing. If you can learn to surf and learn the subtleties of every wave being different, then you can actually optimize the energy in the wave to your purpose. And so it is with the various rhythms of the sun and the moon. From there, we can get quite, you build up certain experiences that then start to drive the rhythms by which you order your agricultural practices. I don't know whether, John, you'd like to speak about some of your experiences with horses or with your citrus, because where John's got to after many years of working with biodynamics, being generational with ecological farming, it's the observational capacities that he's been able to bring to what he does, that is the stories are the beginnings of other people's learnings.
Yeah, probably I always like to look at the history of the planting calendar, which is based on practical observations of the percentage of seeds that germinate at a certain rhythm of each month or each year. Also the end result of that crop. And it is probably the oldest agricultural practice that there is. It began a long time before records were kept, where people just worked on by their observations. And it was interesting to me in the Northern Territory that there's no calendar, but they could tell you on which moon or what phase of the moon that they did their burning. And in the case of problem weeds like or speargrass or any of the problem plants, they would burn it on full moon when it coincided with flowering and fruiting on those plants, and they knew that for 4 years they would get very, very little germination. If it was the grass that they wanted the animals to eat, they would always burn it before it flowered or fruited, and they would do it on the downside of the moon. And these observational skills are what the whole of the cycles and the calendars are tuned into, and as far as I'm concerned, I think use the actual calendar as your diary for when you plant or when you prune or when you propagate, in the case of cattle, when you actually castrate or dehorn or do any of the operations that you do. If you've got them recorded and the next time you do that you see a difference in the outcome, relate it back and just have a look what the rhythms were, particularly of the moon, at the particular time when you've done the more successful operation, like for instance with horses and with cattle and sheep, all animals, the worms detach from the stomach lining for about 3 days over the full moon, and they swim about freely to find a new area that hasn't had a worm attached to it to reattach, because they know if they, or it seems that they're governed by the fact that if they stay any longer than 28 days in one, on one spot, that it can cause septicemia, for their host. So they, you know, avoid that by swimming around freely for those 3 days. And if you grind up pumpkin seeds, or if you have pumpkin seed oil and give that to the animals over those 3 days, we know that the worms just cannot live in company with the oil or the oil from the seeds, and they just evacuate. So you're not killing any of the flora and fauna in the gut that makes use of the, or makes energy from the food you feed the animals, and you'll just reduce the number of worms. And I think this is the sort of thing that you can very, very easily observe for yourself. And one experience with mares that were served over about an 18 or 19 day period, and there was only one that foaled prior to the Friday, and the Friday happened to be the moon opposition Friday. So there were some that went 2 or 3 days extra, and others that actually foaled a fortnight early. So it is, you know, it's amazing the difference that the cycles of the moon and with the planetary cycles actually make. And it's a pity when we're doing things if we can't look back at it and then relate it back to those natural rhythms, because it's you know, it's only a matter of recording what we do and the day we do it, and then relate it to one of the calendars where we can see where everything was at that particular time And it is the icing in the cake, on the cake, it really is. We've had citrus that on probably in one particular case, on Friday, the bricks had dropped from 16 back to 12, and I told the girls or the ladies who were picking not to pick that same area on the Monday. And anyway, when I got down there on the Monday, they were already picking and they were back on the same ones that we finished off on Friday, and I asked them about it. And the refractometer travels in the glove box of the ewes, and they said, well, they tried them. And they were back up above 16 again, so they hopped in and did it. And when we looked at the calendar at lunchtime, that Saturday happened to be the moon opposition Saturn. And it obviously rejuvenated the fruit that were on the tree and lifted the bricks. That 3 or 4 points again made it acceptable. So I think that there's just so many things that we can do. I've noticed with fireweed, if we actually mulch it off close to the ground, but mulch it on the new moon in August, that we get absolutely no regrowth, and we don't get any regermination until well into the autumn the next year, which we usually pepper for anyway. But clytuia, if it is, you can certainly take a lot of the recovery, or cause it to spend a lot more time recovering if you actually mow it on a new moon. And there's just so many things that we can make our farming a lot more interesting and probably a lot less difficult when we know and recognise the preferential times to do those things.
John, you made it sound so practical that you just wonder why farmers aren't doing it. John, you did mention, or Hamish, you can answer this question, you did mention the calendar a few times. Is that the Brian Keats calendar or something else, or what is this calendar business? I know to some degree, but can you sort of explain it?
The one that most of us in biomics work with in Australia is one that's called the Antipodean Astro Calendar.
Yeah.
And it's put out by Brian Keats, and his life is researching this work. There are other ones out of Europe. Maria Thun did one, but she died just recently. I presume it'll keep going. But they both work on pretty much the same basis. It's also worth knowing the biodynamic ones work with astronomy, not astrology. So you'll find that the calendars that work with astrology are a few days different to the ones that work with astronomy. So we work with where the stars and the planets and the moon and the sun are physically. The astrological one are more on the soul level, so to speak. So that's just one thing you need to...
Hold on, you work with the...
astronomy, which is the physical, astronomy. Where the physical planets and sun and moon are. In other words, if it says that the moon is in Venus, if the moon is in Sagittarius, if you look in the sky, you'll see the moon, and behind the moon will be Sagittarius. That's what physically the relationship is described.
Now, Hamish, these calendars, you sell them, don't you?
Yes, I sell them. You can email me. The 2013 one should be out next week. So, yes, you can get them from me, or you can get them direct from Brian Keats if you just do Astro Calendar.
Well, I think you deserve a little bit of business if you don't care posting them out. And you buy them each year, don't you?
It's an annual calendar, yes.
Yeah.
so it's different every year. Never twice in history is the planetary alignments around the Earth the same. It's like, as I say, it's like surfing. You can surf all your life. You'll never get two waves that are the same.
So
you'll always get one that'll toss you, even no matter how good you are.
So it's worth having the buying a calendar or getting hold of a calendar each year.
Yes, and as John says, the best way is to use it as a diary of what you're doing. So if you write in every day just what you've been doing, because what tends to happen is that you just truck on through life doing things, but if you haven't recorded when you do it, when you see a result that's a bit out of the ordinary, you've got nothing to go back and refer to. And this is very important. One of the exciting things, there's a retired vet, Michael Blocky, up at Stewart's Point, and Scott's Head, sorry, and he's working with a local primary school just as a volunteer in the garden, and he's got them using, you know, organics and biodynamics and various things, and with the calendar. And he gets the kids to do the work and do the planting and harvesting, etc., but he's actually been doing the weighing and measuring of the outcome, and he's you know, totally stoked at the difference in productivity or yield on different cycles of the moon. And he's since stopped the organic trials, but he said the biodynamic ones are just far superior and more interesting to it. So that's where some sort of documented trials happen, because most farmers don't document what they do. So use the calendar, as John says, as a notebook, and then you'll build up over time a sort of a knowledge bank or a reference bank that you can go back to.